on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back to another episode of the YoteCast podcast. The Coyote football team back at home this week as they take on Youngstown State in what is now a top 25 matchup. So it should be a fun Saturday inside the Dakota Dome. Get your tickets at goyotes.com. Coming up in the show today, we will preview the Penguins of Youngstown State with Bob Hannon. He is the play-by-play voice of the Youngstown State Penguins. And also coming up in the show, we'll talk to Martin Hanselman, who is one of the German football coaches. He's one of the leaders of the German football coaching group who has been hanging out all week long on the campus of USD and will be attending Saturday's game against Youngstown State. This is something that has gone on for a long time with Martin Hanselman and Bob Nielsen. They're great friends, and it's a partnership that started back when Bob was at Wartburg College. And so every year you may have noticed a group of German coaches who hang around. They came to the Carrot Report on Monday. They have been showing up at meetings and things like that for USD coaches all week long. They're trying to learn. What they want to do is take information about American football back to Europe and apply it to the American football product that they have in Europe. So we'll have that conversation coming up in the podcast with Martin Hanselman as well. This week, the Summit League hosted its media day, and it's the first in-person media day that we've had in quite some time, and you probably have seen the polls come out from the coaches and media and all of that. They call it somewhere it said the coaches poll, but it's really a preseason poll because it's voted on by more than coaches. But let's start with women's basketball. Grace Larkins, who's obviously a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal basketball player at South Dakota, was named to the preseason All-Summit League first team, while Carly Duffney was named to the second team for the preseason All-Summit League teams. Carly, of course, came on last year and you know, played a little bit early on, but really was forced into a role later in the year, and she really grew in that role, and it continued to help this team. I'm really excited to see where the women's basketball team goes this year, because when you look at South Dakota, and obviously they went through some challenges last year, but they got some players back who are healthy from the injury list last year, and I'm excited to see where they go, you know, where this season heads for USD. And the Coyotes were picked third in the preseason poll. They received a couple of first-place votes. They were really scattered, the first-place votes. South Dakota State received 27 of them. North Dakota State received 5, USD 2. Oral Robertson, Denver each got a first-place vote as well. So when you look at the women's preseason poll, South Dakota State sat at the top. North Dakota State was number 2. South Dakota was number 3. North Dakota and Oral Roberts were in the top 5. And then Omaha, Denver, St. Thomas, and Kansas City rounded out the preseason poll. So, you know, it's funny because you look at preseason polls and I know a lot of people get worked up about them, and really it is just a conversation piece, right? It's something that the Summit League can put out into the world so that people are talking about Summit League basketball. And it was a goal of theirs, and they succeeded, right? They had Herd at Sports. They had the Field of 68, those products, those podcasts, those shows who were in attendance at the media day in Sioux Falls. And not only that, as far as national media, but great regional media. We have a lot of people in the region that cover the Summit League extremely well. These people were in attendance. So for a day or two, maybe three, there was a lot of conversation surrounding Summit League basketball. And that's the point of polls, right? That's the early, that's when you start with preseason polls. That's what it is. I don't mind conference preseason polls because it gives us kind of a gauge, but we're not rating the conference the rest of the season, right? We look at the poll and we say, okay, that's what people think might happen based on the information that they have right now. And with that, then the teams battle it out, and we see at the end of the year if the poll was even close. I've never been a huge fan of preseason polls as far as top 25 and some of those ratings, because those matter, right? Later in the year, those matter. They're significant because early in the year, we are told who we need to pay attention to, who is supposed to be good, and you don't give some of these teams a chance to really put themselves up in the poll, right? So you could say that, yeah, they could win and they move into it and all of that, and I get that, but preseason polls keep some teams in a poll longer than they should because we were told from the beginning that they should be a factor. They should be considered. So there's that on preseason polls. In the men's basketball preseason poll, South Dakota State was picked to win the league. Oral Roberts was second, North Dakota State third, and then St. Thomas fourth. St. Thomas really battled last year. I think that's a really, really good team. North Dakota was fifth. South Dakota picked at number six. Then Omaha and Kansas City and Denver rounded out the poll. South Dakota at six really surprised me in this poll. And what it tells me is that there is a lot of unknown around the league about South Dakota, because obviously the Coyotes lost players like A.J. Plitzewide and Cruz and Tassos and Damani and guys who are critical, right? They lose a bunch of starters. So if South Dakota is going to be any good this year in men's basketball, they're going to have to start a bunch of players who didn't start for South Dakota last year. Now you look at the Coyotes and they've changed their makeup of their team. They have overhauled the roster a little bit. They've added size, and we got a lot of unknowns for people. They don't know how this is going to come together. I'll be very, very surprised if this men's basketball team finishes sixth or worse. This is a very good basketball team, and I'm really excited for the upcoming season because I think that people are going to like the product. You know, you got returners like Jeremiah Coleman and Felix Brostrom and Miles Branch and guys like Max Burchill, who was a huge part of this team last year. Guy like Paul Bruns, who's obviously been a big part of the program. And then you got a whole bunch of new guys. A couple of guys who were redshirt last year, Javon Hill, Stephen Kramer, and then these transfers that brought in some size. You know, Caleb Stewart, a 6'3 guard from Louisiana Tech. Mayim Boum, who came here from Emporia State, he's 6'10. You have Boston Holt at 6'7, a guard who transferred from Utah. I mean, the list goes on and on. Lahat Chun, who transferred from UCF and had played at Utah and is 6'10. And there's some really good players here. So I'm really excited for the season. I can't wait for our fans to see the product. And again, that take preseason polls however you want. It's a conversation starter. But boy, at the end of the year, I don't think South Dakota is anywhere near that number six spot in the conference, but that's why they play the games, and we'll see how things go for USD. Coyote men's and women's basketball teams open up the season on November 6th. It's a doubleheader at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. That's a Monday. The Coyote women will play host to Northern State, while the Coyote men will entertain Mount Marty. So it's a doubleheader on November the 6th. The women's game is scheduled to get underway at 5:30. In the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Speaking of polls, how about the Coyote football team? They've been getting some nods in the top 10 from a variety of polls. They made it in this week to the FCS Stats Perform poll, and of course, still in the top 20 of the AFCA coaches poll as well. Youngstown State back into the poll after they crushed Southern Illinois last week. Just dominating effort for the Penguins, and that's going to be a very, very good game on Saturday. Boy, we need a crowd inside the dome on Saturday. So get your tickets at goyotes.com. At the time of this podcast coming out, there's a great deal on tickets right now, so buy them up as best you can, and let's try to get as many people to the dome as possible. Make that a great atmosphere for the Coyote football team and a tough atmosphere for the Youngstown State Penguins. This week, got a chance to catch up with Martin Hanselman. He's a great friend of South Dakota head football coach Bob Nielsen. They've been coming over here every year, just about every year, I should say. With the COVID thing, it kind of screwed things up, but just about every year with Bob Nielsen has been a head coach at South Dakota, and he continues to bring a group of coaches from Germany over to learn more and more about the American football game and how coaches handle watching film and game planning and things like that. So this week, I had a chance to catch up with Martin Hanselman. Martin, it's great to see you and your guys back on USD's campus. I know this has turned into an annual thing that you've been doing for a long time. So welcome back to South Dakota.
Hello. Welcome back, too. Yes. It's great to be here with the guys. And like you said, yeah, it seems to become an annual thing here.
You and Bob Nielsen have a relationship that goes back a very, very long time. How did your partnership, if you will, your relationship and friendship get started?
It's a funny story. I was coaching a team in Germany with the nickname Knights, and Bob was at this time the head coach of the Wartburg Knights. And they were looking for a team going over to Europe and play a team in Europe and stay there and just get the new culture, the different culture and all these things. And so I thought, hey, bringing over a team with the same nickname is a good idea and maybe we can promote the game. And we just talked about that yesterday. It must be in 1992 or 93, one of these years it was set. And so we met the first time then when they came over. So we invited the team and brought them over to Germany, Rothenburg, and it was a great setup. And from this day on, we were connected, we were together, and for me, it was very good to get the connection with Bob Nielsen. I call him type of my mentor. I learned a lot because right after this event, I came to Wartburg during camp and learned a lot about football and how things work. And so this was the start. And then we connected, and every year we had a connection. We talked to each other, and we tried to set up things and events for football in Europe. And I came over to the United States and followed Bob in his career.
Well, and obviously you've made trips to different places, and Bob's career ended up at South Dakota, so you've been here a few times, but you don't just come over here just for vacation. You bring a group of coaches with you, right?
Yes, that's the idea of that. I'm doing the coaches development in Europe since many years, and at one point I thought it would be a good idea to bring coaches over because it's so hard to make the transfer of what football really means here in the United States and how big it is and how coaches really work in details and how they plan practice and all these things. It was always so hard because people don't believe it. If you come back to Germany and say, hey, maybe we have to change things, and it's like, no, we did it all the time and this is what we know. And so I thought it's maybe a good idea to bring people over and let them see that how things really work. And it was very successful, and we do this since then.
So you bring a group of coaches over and they sit with the USD staff. Are they they're in like game planning meetings and understanding? Are they into the late night film watching and all of that?
Yes. At the beginning, we had more sessions with fundamentals. All the coaches did a clinic for their European coaches. This was in the past, but now we were a little bit further in Europe and Germany, and the guys know a lot about football already. So we changed it and we switched it, and we just sit them in the meetings, and it takes them a day or two to pick up things. It's always the first day they come back in the hotel, and we have a meeting in the evening before we go to bed, and guys go like, oh man, this is so much and I don't understand a word and all that. And then we discuss a little bit these things. I try to help them. And after that, day three, they pick up things very well and they're in the meetings. And yes, they were in the meeting last night, 11:30.
That's a late night meeting, but it's all about learning, because American football in Europe has been a growing thing over the last couple of decades, right?
Yes. I started in 1982 playing football, and I can tell you stories that people didn't even recognize what we are doing. It was more with the soldiers over there in the army bases where we played, and we really got connected with them. But now it's getting really bigger and more popular. We have free NFL games on TV, what helped a lot, and people like the sport and they like the dynamic of the sport, and so it's really growing at the moment.
What has the change in the NFL been like with putting games in Germany and some of these places like the Chiefs and the Dolphins? Next month will play in Germany, and it's kind of continued to grow the excitement about the NFL in Europe.
Yes, that's for sure. We had games in the past. I remember in the 90s we had the American Bowls. And I remember a game when the Chiefs played the Vikings in the 90s. I was involved in that. But then they stopped it. Then we had the NFL Europe over there. Didn't work out too good. And they always have games in London. And they every year they are sold out. And so they decided to have a game in Munich last year. And I think they could have sold out more than a million of tickets. So people like it and people are interested in it. And I think the strategy of the NFL is a good strategy. It depends on what the goal of the strategy is. I'm sure they need to expand worldwide, because soccer is a worldwide sport and they need new markets, and this is what they're doing right now. They're going through the UK, they're coming to Germany, and they try to have the European market, what is a big market for the NFL.
You know, over here, we obviously the NFL is a big thing. You see people wearing NFL gear all the time, supporting teams, and it could be teams from anywhere across the country. Is the NFL that popular in Germany, or has it more recently grown?
No, it is popular. It's very popular. The NFL is very popular. Many people looking the NFL Game Pass, they buy that and they want to see all these informations about the NFL. And it's really a sport what is growing a lot. And it's recently more because it's in the free TV also. The German RTL is a TV station. They are promoted and they show the NFL. So it's really becoming more popular than it was in the past.
Let's talk about the football that you're involved with. What is your league like that you have teams in, and these coaches that you brought to us and to learn this week? What kind of football, what kind of league is it?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's totally different than it is here in the United States. In Germany, football or all sports is club-based, so it's an amateur status. And we have about six leagues in Germany. And you can go up, if you win the championship, you go up to the next league, so in the next conference and division. So you can also go down. If you lose all the games, you can go down. And this is how it's really organized. All sports are organized like that. Doesn't matter whether it's volleyball, and even soccer starts like that. They have more leagues and they are more popular. And then you end up in the so-called German Football League. This is the highest league in of the sports organizations. This is where I coached many years. And then since 3 years, we have the European League of Football. And the European League of Football is a little bit more related to the NFL. There are teams, they are not club-based. They are professional, more professional. They are more financed. They are companies. And this league is growing so far. This year they made the statement after their bowl that they will not grow more. Right now they have 17 teams all over Europe, then Spain, in Czech, in Hungary, in Austria, Switzerland, France, Germany, and Poland. And they tried to set up a league like the NFL.
Is the football that we're talking about, is it mostly European athletes who are playing? Are they trying to recruit American players who maybe have played college football in America and want to continue their football career?
Yeah, mainly there are national players. This is the most players out of that. But every team or most of the teams try to find American players, import players, to really make them better and help them, especially on quarterback position. That's one of the positions you can say mostly every team has that, has an American quarterback. And for the college players, it's a good opportunity to see other culture, different culture for a couple of years, going to Europe and play football, what they like and what they love to do, and just see a different country and make new friends and play a good sport.
What kind of coaches are with you on this trip? Are they head coaches of teams? Are they position coaches, coordinators?
We got everybody here with the group. We have assistant coaches from the European League of Football. We have assistant coaches from the GFL. We got a head coach from a lower league team. So we have all kinds of coaches coming with me and learn the game of football. And I can tell you, when we arrive in Vermilion every year, and we go inside of the dome, and Bob showed us around all the rooms and all the sports facilities. The one coach said on Monday, "I feel like a kid in a candy shop." So you can see the difference between sports in Europe and here in the United States. These facilities we do not have in Europe.
Do they take plays back with them that they learn here and try to incorporate it into your game?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure. It will be a difficult transfer, but as more as we bring over coaches and they bring the knowledge back, the game will grow in Germany too. We had yesterday a good conversation, discussion in the group about transfer, what we learn here going back to Germany. The problem is that the game of football develops here so fast. Every year you got new plays, you got new ideas. And to transfer this to Germany, It's a big challenge for us to get the right things in a club and amateur football program.
Well, as you plan this trip every year, how does a trip come together? This has got to require a lot of planning and I would imagine advanced commitment from these guys to make this trip.
Yes, it's easy to find people, and I'm pretty known in Europe. People know me and they know I'm doing this trip, and honestly, there is not a big promotion. I just wait and talk with Bob about the schedule, and then we are looking for a good game we can come over, and then I put it on my webpage and I put it on the social media, and people call me and send me emails and go like, "Hey coach, I would like to go with you," and this is how it works, and we have every year a good group of coaches coming over.
What do you hope that this group of coaches is able to understand and take out of this trip?
Every year I hope people here can pick up several things and understand how important it is to develop players who understand the game, who love the game. And because for example, we just discussed about that. Some teams in Germany, they going the whole year with equipment. We don't have like the NCAA or the NFL that we have a strict commitment or rule that you can use equipment just in several parts of the year. We can do it every year. And I hope that the coaches understand and transfer the football knowledge and the football techniques and the fundamentals in the right way back to Europe, that we can really develop our players. We have so many players and young players who love the dream of coming over and play for a college. And more European kids play here in the United States. We have great athletes and they deserve the chance. And I think the chances to come over is bigger when the coaches in Europe are better. That's bottom line, easy.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, keep up the great work that you're doing with all of this. It's great to have you guys back on campus. Great to see you again, and hope you enjoy the entire week and enjoy a little Cal football on Saturday. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you. We will enjoy that for sure.
That's Martin Hanselman. He is the leader of the German Football Coaching Group. You'll see those guys again if you haven't seen them on campus. Maybe you have around Vermilion, but you will see them at the football game on Saturday, as well as the Coyotes take on Youngstown State. Penguins are a very, very good football team. They are coming off of a dominating win over Southern Illinois. Certainly got the attention of a lot of people. They did that at home, and now they are searching for their first road victory of the season when they come to Vermilion. I also had a chance this week to catch up with Bob Hannon. He's the play-by-play voice of Youngstown State. Bob, you get through the season here, or getting through about the getting closer to the midway point of the season, and obviously Youngstown State is 1-1 right now in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, 3-2 overall, but coming off of a win last week that really turned the heads around the country, a 31-3 win over Southern Illinois, who at the time was ranked number five and six in the country. How about that performance last week for this Youngstown State football team?
Well, John, always good to catch up with you. I think we felt we had the ability and the potential. I think what was most surprising is Southern Illinois came in number one in the country and stopping the run, and we were able to run the football. Kyshawn King rushed for over 100 yards. Dre Rushton had a big game, and we really took it at him. And on the other side, we had 7 sacks, and it really was never a competitive game. We only had to punt one time. So it was the kind of performance we've been waiting for, this Youngstown State team coming off 7 wins a year ago and returning just about every key starter. I think what they're most pleased with is the way they really came back after a tough loss at Northern Iowa. But we dominated that game up front, and that's where that game was won. Our offensive line, most of all, controlling their defensive front and our ability to be able to run the ball and take it right at Southern.
Well, you look at this Youngstown State football team, it's a very veteran group. You return, obviously, you mentioned the running backs. You added in a transfer to that mix. You got a veteran quarterback. That wide receiver group is very, very talented. And you look defensively, it just feels like this is a group that has been building for a special, special season.
It is. And, you know, John, I think they came in very disappointed to this season after winning 7 games last year and not making the playoffs. Normally you win 7 games in the Missouri Valley Conference. That's enough to get into a 24-team field. I think they turned that into a positive and used that chip on the shoulder to make sure there was no doubt this year. We may be a bit biased. We believe we have the best receiver in the conference in Bryce Oliver. We think he's the kind of talent that could be playing in the Big Ten. So we need to find ways to get him the football. We got it to him early last week. I think the strength of the team is wide receiver. Our other two receivers, C.J. Charleston, Max Homzak, are also very good. I think the big question was, how do we replace Jaleel McLaughlin, who's now getting a lot of playing time with the Denver Broncos? He's become a sort of their featured back. Tyshawn King transferring in from Northern Michigan has been a huge boost to the run game. He's quick, he's strong, he may not be the level of Jaleel McLaughlin, but that was the one area we had concern. I think offensively we're very dynamic. Mitch Davidson, who's a former walk-on, makes good decisions at quarterback. Defensively, we have most of our guys back up front. I think if there was a concern, it was in the secondary, and I still think that's an area where we're not sure as the season progresses. But our defensive front, probably disappointed before Southern Illinois. We weren't getting a lot of pressure. The last week we created a lot of havoc and had 7 sacks. So I just think, generally speaking, wide receiver, defensive front are two areas where we think should be the strength of this team.
Bob, this is an interesting game on Saturday in Vermilion. It's two teams that believe they are capable of making the playoffs and have schedules that are favorable to try to win enough games to get into the playoffs. This kind of feels like a game of the year type of game for these two teams.
John, you nailed how we feel. We believe here in Youngstown we open with a gauntlet: Northern Iowa, Southern Illinois, and South Dakota. South Dakota really got our attention 2 weeks ago when they won at North Dakota State. When you win in the Fargo Dome, that's impressive. So maybe this was a game back in July we felt we'd have an advantage. I think the Coyotes were picked 9th in the conference, but not now. I mean, I think you are very physical, strong. I know there's a lot of concern about this game coming off the Southern Illinois game. I think you're right. These are two teams that potentially are playoff teams, and getting a win here would be huge for the Penguins. Our schedule softens a bit after this until we get to South Dakota State. So if Youngstown State can get this win, be 2-1 in the conference, we like our chances of being a playoff team and even potentially being in the hunt for a conference championship. But there's no question here. We know how good South Dakota is. Coach Nielsen's not always maybe had the most talent, but he finds ways to get his teams competitive. I mean that in a complimentary way. He did a good job when he was at Western. He's won national championships. We think he's done a great job at South Dakota, and it seems like the program has gone to the next level.
Bob, you look at just Youngstown State and coming into the season, it felt like as we got closer and closer to the season, and I can track some of this thanks to social media, but the hype surrounding Youngstown State football, it feels like this year was higher than it has been in a very, very long time. What's the feeling been around Youngstown?
I think this was the most excitement since the 2016 team that went to the national championship game and lost to James Madison. When you look at the portal, we really didn't go into the portal. But the good news this year, we didn't lose anybody to the portal, which is sort of unusual. We felt we had enough talent here to be really good. I think we won 5 of our last 6. The lone loss was Missouri State. Again, maybe got away from us. So I think there was tremendous hype and justifiably so. I think there's everything here that we need to win. I think the question was tailback, but we now have answered that with Tyshawn King. This is a program that obviously has a lot of tradition and history going back to the Jim Trussell eras and the 4 national championships in the 90s. And quite frankly, John, we have the stadium, we have the resources, we have the commitment. There's a lot of good football in Ohio. There's no reason why Youngstown State shouldn't be a team that's in the hunt for the playoffs every year, and maybe every so often you're good enough to make a run at a national title. So we believe this is the beginning of the Doug Phillips era of being a consistent playoff-type team, and we think it'll continue on for many years to come.
As you bring up the Doug Phillips era, what has he changed for Youngstown State football the last couple of years that has maybe not only the team, but turned supporters into believers again?
Well, just from the football perspective, he and his staff are great recruiters. I think they've done a terrific job recruiting locally and finding those hidden gems. We have 5 starters that were walk-ons from our Youngstown area, including Mitch Davidson, a quarterback, Jordan Trowers, starting corner. We're both walk-ons. I think he's found local talent that's good enough to play here that maybe we're overlooked. I think that's probably number one. They can recruit. But what he's also done is he's in the community. He's very visible. He's speaking a lot. He's out there. But the bottom line is you have to win. He's very consistent. He's a lot like Jim Trussell. He doesn't get too high or get too low. After the Northern Iowa game, there was no panic. And likewise, after the Southern Illinois game, it's just one win. We need to move on to the next game. I also think he's learned under 2 very good coaches, Luke Fickell and Coach Campbell, also at Iowa State. So I think he has a lot of that Luke Fickell in him that he learned at Cincinnati, which is run the football, play really good defense. And in Youngstown, Ohio, in Northeast Ohio, come late in the season, you need to be able to do that. We're not flashy. We're not going to go 5 wideouts and throw the football over the field. But I think what Doug's brought to the program is consistency, and he's also turned over his staff. I think he finally has the staff that he believes he needs to win here. So I just think everything's in place, but Doug's really become a major part of the community, and he's a very easy guy to root for, John. He's a guy that is very comfortable with people, likes to get out and socialize, so he's a guy that everybody wants to see win.
Tell me about Mitch Davidson, the quarterback. This is the guy who's thrown an interception in 3 straight games, but he still has a passing percentage above 75% in each of those games. He's only had 1 game this year where he has completed less than 65% of his passes. It seems like he is being very, very efficient and smart with the football.
Mitch had no FCS offers. He walked on here at Youngstown State. Most thought he would be playing Division II college football. So he had a lot of confidence that he could play here. You mentioned the interceptions, but overall his decision-making has been very good. His touchdown-to-interception ratio overall is very good. So he's made really good decisions for this team. The players believe in him. And I also think he has that gunslinger mentality in a positive way, that he always believes that he's going to lead his team to a win. Last year, we rallied late to win at Western Illinois. We came from behind to win against Illinois State. So he's confident. The players believe in him. He makes really good decisions, and it's also helping that we're still able to run the football and we don't rely on the pass game to carry us. We like what Mitch has done, and we like our receiver, so we think we've got a good combination there. And he's been protected well, John. We have four veterans on the offensive line. I think he's the right quarterback for the system that we have.
You've been around Youngstown State football for a long time, and you look at this year's team and this week's matchup. What has to go right for Youngstown State if they're going to pick up a road win on Saturday?
Well, it appears South Dakota's protected their quarterback well. We need to get after him. We need to get sacks. We need to get harass him, create some turnovers. Our defensive front, we believe, is very good, and we had seven sacks last week. And we also can't let South Dakota's offense bully us and run the football. If you look at the numbers, South Dakota's been able to run the ball. We've been able to stop the run. So we need to be able to win that battle up front. I think if we can force them to throw, South Dakota to throw, that'll allow our defensive front to do its thing. And I think that'll be the key to the game. I really believe this is a toss-up. You have two even teams, well-coached. I think you have hungry teams that aspire to be where South Dakota State and North Dakota State are and believe they're good enough to be playoff teams. But for us, we have to stop that run game. If they're getting after us running the football, we're probably going to be in trouble.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a great game on Saturday, and we're looking forward to it. Bob, have a safe trip with the team out to Vermilion, and we'll see you on Saturday. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
You got it, John. Always good to catch up.
That's Bob Hannon. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Youngstown State Penguins. And Youngstown State in South Dakota set to do it up at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Miles Harden, by the way, has been added to the watch list for the Comeback Player of the Year, one of 49 college football student athletes around the country and one of just six in the FCS named to the award. Of course, Miles played only six games last year, was having a phenomenal year when he suffered an injury and dealt with injuries the last couple of seasons, but he's having another really solid campaign, so we love seeing Miles out onto the field, but we'll continue to watch that. Comeback Player of the Year, hopefully he can continue to have that kind of success. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Women's tennis team is at ITA Regionals in Lawrence, Kansas. That runs through the weekend. Volleyball is at home on Thursday. They take on St. Thomas, a 7 o'clock start time. That is the pinkout game for volleyball as well. Cross country heads to Peoria, Illinois on Friday for the Bradley Pink Classic, and swimming and diving is at Minneapolis Tri-Duals in Minnesota. That's a 5 o'clock start time on Friday. Women's golf is in Florida. They're at Florida International playing in the Pat Bradley Invitational. That starts on Saturday and will run Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The women's triathlon will compete at West Regional Championships in Springfield, Missouri. Swimming and diving is at St. Thomas. Softball is scheduled to take on Nebraska in a fall ball matchup, while volleyball is on the road. They'll play at Kansas City Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Of course, the football team will take on Youngstown State, 1 o'clock in Vermilion inside the Dakota Dome. And also softball takes on Colorado State. Those matchups, by the way, are scheduled for Lincoln, Nebraska, the Coyotes taking on Nebraska and Colorado State. So that's a big, big slate of things going on Saturday. Sunday, it continues. Women's soccer takes on North Dakota State at 1 o'clock in Vermilion. Golf and tennis continue at their events, and they'll continue that through Monday as well. And then Tuesday, volleyball is back in action at home against South Dakota State. 7 o'clock start time, so get your tickets at goyotes.com. That is what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. And that is going to do it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Yotecast podcast. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.